I'm happy to greet you this morning in the precious name of Jesus. I trust that the older we get, the more precious we find him. It's been 21 years ago since I first preached in this church, and there was a dear brother sitting on the front bench that is no longer here. But I felt pretty small that time because he was my bishop for years, and I was just a young preacher, and I was preaching at Youth Institute, and dear brother Aaron was sitting right there. And one of the blessed things I got from that dear brother that day, or that week, was a little corrective criticism. And one of the things he shared with me that week was a little poem he had written in terms of how we pray. He said, in public, you don't say I, you say we, and us. Because you're leading a prayer in public. And I never forgot that little criticism he gave me there early in my ministry. And I praise the Lord for a dear brother that spoke up and shared his mind with me, and I believe was a blessing in my life long before that, and continues to be a blessing as I think back on his life and reflect on it. My mind is pulled several different ways this morning as I think of a message and what to share. We enjoyed a trip out through this year to see our daughter and her family up in Alberta, and my wife and I like to drive through Yellowstone and route there because it's pretty much on our route. And one of the mountains there in northeast Yellowstone has mountain goats on it. And unless you take the time to look for them, depending what time of the day it is or whether they're out and really visible, you won't see them. I wanted to see them, and so I pulled out my spotting scope and I started looking at that mountain. I was convinced there was some up there I could find. It took me about 20 minutes, but I found them, and then I started seeing not just one, but two, three, four, five, six. There they were. They were up there, resting in crevices of the rock. It was a hot summer day, but they were up there resting in the shade, basically, and they were seemed like looking straight down there at me, but they were secure on their rock. And the scripture brings a verse in Deuteronomy 32, and it says this in verse 31, "Their rock is not as our rock. Their rock is not as our rock, even our enemies themselves being judges." As I grow older, one of the things I need to increase more of in my mind, more in my heart, is an appreciation for my God. And I would like to lift up God here this morning to each one of us, because there are other rocks out there you can trust in. But their rock is not as our rock. Their rock is not as our rock. Even our enemies being judges. And what all had happened in Israel's history, just stop and think about it. Moses is writing in terms of that here. But I would like to think back. I would like to go into Genesis 49. And I would like to ponder a little different aspect of this as you think of this. This morning, if you're here as a believer, and I trust we are, and you believe that God is a rock that you can run to, and that God is the one you will run to, and that God is your shelter in the time of storm, and that God is the one who is able to help you through the challenges of life, then this verse can be said of your life when your life is over, or when God has, when God writes in terms of you. And it says of Joseph in Joseph 49, verse 22. Now we know not every life holds the same aspects that Joseph did here, but we are similar in many ways. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well whose branches ran over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel, even by the God of thy father who shall help thee, and by the Almighty who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep life that lieth under, blessings of the breast and of the womb, the blessing of thy father, and he goes on, okay? But the thought I want to focus on this morning is in verse 24. The arms of his hands, okay, here's your arm, here's your hand. The arms of his hand were made strong by what? By the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. Now, what do you do with your arm? Your arm is, and your hand out there on the end of it, is a source of being able to reach out and extend to others, right? It's a source of blessing to help others. In Joseph's life, his arm was a source of reaching out to bless others. The world, especially in this famine they were facing. And God wants to take us here today. If God is our rock, if God is the one that we run to for refuge, if God is the one that we turn to for our help, then God wants to be this hand under our arm, helping us extend out and be a blessing to others. Can God be that in our lives? Yes, he can. But we have to first see him as a rock. We have to first believe he is able. We have to first believe he is sufficient. We have to believe about ourselves, the truth about ourselves, that we are insufficient, that we are incapable without a God that is capable, and that nothing, yes, we can accomplish nothing good without the divine help in our lives. And so I'm blessed as I think of this passage and this little nugget here as Jacob is blessing Joseph and that input of that. The arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. And I would like to just take the time this morning to look at some glimpses of God's hands in Scripture. Over in Isaiah 40, we have a couple verses, glimpses of God's hands there. Isaiah 40, verse 9. O Zion that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. I just love the enthusiasm of this writer here as he's writing this passage and he's saying, this is how you need to talk about your God. Lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up. Behold your God. Behold the Lord God will come with what? With strong hand. With strong hand. And his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. I just like the beauty of that verse. The Lord God shall come with strong hand. And he's there. He's able to rule. He's able to reward. He performs his work. But he cares about every one of us in a very caring manner. Especially as he mentions, gently lead those that are with young. God's goodness in caring for us. In Psalm 117 and verse 15. Another verse that talks about God's hands. I don't want Psalm 117. Well, I'm not sure why I put Psalm 117. I want Psalm 118. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. As I think of the rejoicing because of God's right hand and what he has done. In Psalm 78, it says this, "Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They remembered not his hand. They remembered not his hand, nor the day when he delivered them from the enemy." But in Exodus 15, there as they're singing that song, "Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy." Over in 1 Kings chapter 8. Verse 41. "Moreover, concerning a stranger that is not of thy people Israel, but cometh out of a far country for thy name's sake, for they shall hear of thy great name." Notice what it says next. "They shall hear of thy strong hand." They shall hear of thy strong hand and of thy stretched out arm. Beautiful. "They shall hear of thy strong hand and of thy stretched out arm. When he shall come and pray toward this house, hear thou in heaven." And we see God's stretched out hand, his strong hand, his stretched out arm, his strong hand, in reaching out to the stranger and blessing them. Other places in Scripture, we have the hand of the Lord in Elijah's life. "The hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel," in 1 Kings 18:46. In the life of Ezra, in Ezra 7, verse 6, "This Ezra went up from Babylon, and he was a ready scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. And the king granted him all his request according to the good hand," or according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him. It says good hand there a little later in the same passage. The good hand of his God upon him. In Isaiah 14, verse 27, "For the Lord of hosts hath purposed, and who shall disannul it? And his hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back?" In Ephesians 1, we get a picture of the hand of the Lord, a hand of God, as he takes Christ out of that grave, resurrects him. And where does he put him? "Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and every might and dominion and everything that is named, not only in this world, but in that which is to come." A beautiful picture of the hand of the Lord. Well, I'd like to, first of all, this morning, think a little bit in terms of the strength of God's hands. In Hebrews 1, Isaiah 48, Isaiah 40, other places, we have verses about God's power in creation. We just come through that in our Sunday school lessons of two Sundays ago, last Sunday. But I'm just impressed. You know, the power of God's hand in creation. What does Hebrews 1 say in verse 10? "Thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thine hands." The heavens are the work of thine hands. Yesterday was an eclipse for some to see. Here with all the clouds and rain, you couldn't see it. But I think some back home even viewed a partial one. Wasn't the best place to be. You had to be out west more. The power of God's hand displayed in an eclipse. The order of the universe. And keeping that in order. And as he created the heavens. And Isaiah talks about the starry host and how he gave a name to every one of them. And now they pull out these telescopes and they're still looking further and further, and not to the end of it by no means. The heavens are the work of thine hands. In 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 2, verse 12. 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 12. David is talking here. And in verse 11, we have David's view of God. It's a powerful view of God. He says, "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. The strength you have here this morning is the result of God's hand reaching down and giving you strength. The position you have in life is the result of God's hand reaching down and giving you strength. The riches that you have, whatever wealth you have this morning, is the result of God's hand. And David recognized that. And David was no poor man. If you put the value of what he just donated here in terms of the temple, in today's money, it's in the billions, okay? It's like five, six, that depends on what the price of gold is. $4 to $6 billion donated to the temple in terms of gold alone. And here he is. He's acknowledging God's hand in his life. And he's acknowledging God's hand and even putting him where he was as a king. He's acknowledging God's hand in the victories that were theirs throughout the time in the past. Thine is the victory. You know, God never has known a defeat. Never. Thine is the victory. God never has known a defeat. He is always winner in any battle. In thine hand is power and might, to exalt man, to give strength to all, to bless man with physical strength. In Psalm 104, verse 28, thou openest thine hand, they are filled with good, to sustain us. As I think of God's sustaining power, thou openest thine hand, they are filled with good. If God would close his hand and stop giving to us today, we would be gone. We would be gone. No man has the power. There was a verse read, or was it in the, I think it was in the Sunday school reading this morning. It talked about men and what they do with their hands and how they make these idols and how useless these idols are versus our God and the power of his hand. In Exodus 13:13, we see the strength of God's hand in delivering from the enemy, as he powerfully delivered Israel from bondage by strength of hand, the Lord. And he says, I want you to remember this day, for by strength of hand, the Lord brought you out. As he's introducing the Passover and God's deliverance there in Exodus 13. In Job 5, verse 18, Job says this, his hands make whole. His hands make whole. To restore fully. As I think of God's ability to restore fully, and like our brother referred to in devotions, that word reconcile and the ability of God to restore us back to relationship with him. But part of another aspect of God's hands making whole is this, you know, he knows how to help us grow up. And he works in our lives to help us grow in wholeness, you might say, mature spiritually. His hands make whole. And as I think of the strength of God's hands, evidenced from Jesus on earth, you know, he laid his hands on the sick and they were healed. He touched the leper. He wasn't scared to touch the leper. Jewish law said, stay back. He touched the leper. The leper didn't make him leprous. The leper was restored to whole. He was healed as his hands touched the leper. He put his hands upon the blind man in Mark 8, and his eyesight was restored. Over Mark 6, though, it says he was only able to heal a few because they were so hard. They weren't ready to receive him as the messenger he was. To Peter in Matthew 14, 30 and 31, as Peter had asked him, well, Lord, if it's you, bid me walk to you on the water. And he walks out, and all of a sudden he's afraid as he sees the wind and the waves. And he cries out, Lord, save me. And Jesus reached out his hand and lifted him up. Stretched forth his hand, I think is the way it says right there in the scripture. The strength of God's hands. So are you seeing it today? The heavens, they're displaying it. His goodness to you in giving you the daily necessities, in opening his hand and sustaining you, in delivering you from the enemy of our souls, in restoring us fully, and in showing his power through his Son on earth as he did marvelous deeds, acts of greatness with his hands. Another thing I want to think about this morning, secondly, in the message is the security of God's hands upon us. You know, have you ever seen, as parents, we've seen it, had a little child that you wanted to hold their hand and help them somewhere, and they're there. But then, the opposite side of that, you have a child with you, and especially a young child, and you're going somewhere new, and they just want to hold your hand. They just want to hold your hand. Or maybe there's some dog out there, they're not sure. They just want to really hold your hand. The security of God's hands. It's a wonderful thing this morning to trust in our God and to grow in trust in our God. And I see in my own heart both sides. There's times when I want to jerk my hands out, as it were. And I'm sorry for those times. But I need God's hand. I need it desperately. I need his help. And I just want us to be individuals that find God's hand secure. In Mark chapter 10, there's a little scene pictured here with Jesus. The disciples thought he was too busy for some little children. In Mark 10:13, they brought young children to him that he should touch them, but his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, "Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. For if such is the kingdom of God, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein." And he took them up in his arms, and he put his hands upon them and blessed them. Every child of God here this morning that's a parent wants this blessing on their family. We desperately need it. We desperately need it. God's touch on the lives of our children. The love of Jesus is seen here. The love of Jesus for those young children. We need that touch. The children were blessed by God's hand upon them. In John 10, we find another scene. As Jesus is introduced in John 10 as the good shepherd. And he goes down through. And he talks about the security of his sheep. In John 10 and verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gaveth them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." The security of the believer through Christ. The saint kept secure by God's hands. I need that security in my life. I need that hand to keep me. In Psalm 18, verse 35, another verse I'd like to read. "Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great." The shield of thy salvation. Paul talks about it there in Ephesians 6. But here he says, "Thy right hand hath holden me up." What a blessing! Supported by God's right hand. You know, victory is pictured here through God. Victory is pictured here through God. thy right hand hath holden me up. Psalm 31 and verse 5. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. Now we know Jesus quoted that verse as well. But David had a total trust in God's protecting hand. Paul said, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I've committed to him against that day. Total trust in God's protecting hand. Psalm 37, 23 and 24. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Another beautiful picture. You know, these verses are picturing warfare. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. And God's hand there helping one rise up again after falling. We've all been there. There's none of us here that are perfect saints. We've all been there. And without the right hand of the Lord to lift us up and help us go on, where would we be? Isaiah 41, a beautiful promise. A verse I love. Isaiah 41 and verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. As you get a picture of God there, as the God who is with thee, as the God who is a personal God, as the God who promises, I will strengthen thee, I will help thee, I will uphold thee. Certainly, I ask the question, is God's hand safe? Yes, it's safe for those who want to trust in it. It's a safe place to come. He is the rock, the one we can trust in. And like the song we sing sometimes, hold to God's unchanging hand. Well, I'd like to thirdly this morning think a little bit about the sovereignty of God's hand. There's a king in the Old Testament that my mind went to right away when I thought about the sovereignty of God's hand there in Daniel. Daniel chapter 4. Nebuchadnezzar was used to being a self-made man, if I can use that term. He had a lot of power. In fact, he had control over the then known world. I can't even put myself there. I can't imagine all the power he had. Whom he would, he slew, and whom he would, he kept alive. This is the kind of king he was. And then God came along, and he had that dream, and Daniel told him, you know, you need to humble yourself. And he didn't. And he walked on that wall of Babylon, and he was proudly walking there that day and thinking about all this that he felt like he had by his own hand. And God struck him, sent him from the kingdom. But here he makes these comments after this in verse 35. I'll read 34 with it. At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High. And I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? That's a powerful verse to think of this king getting this view of God after God humbled him and then brought him back to his kingly throne. That is amazing. The sovereignty of God's hand. None can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? We wrestle with that at times in our lives, don't we? Yeah, we do. We wrestle with that. But you know, when we surrender, then we're at this point of blessing the Most High. Of blessing the Most High. None can say unto him, what doest thou? In Daniel 5, we have a grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. And Daniel interpreting a dream here, or the writing on the wall. In verse 22, and thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords, thy wives, and thy concubines have drunk wine in them, and thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold and of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. Then was the part of the hand sent from him, and the writing was written. Here God's sovereign hand brought accountability. It brought accountability to this king. You knew this, and yet you lived like this. And here's the writing of my hand on this wall, and here's the decree. I'm holding you accountable for not humbling your heart. God's sovereign hand at work deserves our allegiance. Deserves our allegiance. In Proverbs 21, verse 1, another verse talking about kings. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. You ever ponder that in today's, all the, you know, what's happening over there overseas with Putin, and then you have things going on in Israel and these different rulers. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. God's hand. Still in control. He turneth it whithersoever he will. God's hand rules even among the hearts of wicked kings. Can I use that term? God's hand rules. God's hand rules. Psalm 31 and verse 15 to 24. We need this view of God. I'll start with 14. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. Then he makes the statement, my times are in thy hand. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servants. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he hath showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before mine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplication when I cried unto thee. O love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. I'm just blessed by those verses, as the psalmist ponders life, ponders God's goodness, ponders what all God, you know, I can turn over to this other rock, or I can keep coming back to the rock. And their rock is not as our rock. And so he could say, my times are in thy hand. My days, my hours, my lifespan is in God's hand. And we know Joseph's life there in the verse I opened with. The sovereignty of God's hands in life's circumstances and God's purposes in terms of them. If you were in Joseph's shoes and you were suddenly, whoever's 17 here this morning, suddenly jerked out of your home, taken to a far country, no contact, no cell phone, no contact with those you loved and dearly, you know, loved dearly. Your father, no contact. And yet serve God in that situation and believe that God had a purpose in all this. It certainly takes someone who is trusting in the hand of God and clinging to that hand. But God's sovereignty is seen there because he had a purpose in delivering Israel, in making a way for his people. And I'd like to close with Psalm 16, verse 11, one of my favorite verses in Scripture. Many, but this is one of them. And I'd like to leave this verse with you to ponder. Thou wilt show me the path of life. How does God do that? He does it with his hands. Yeah, he does. He leads us. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Notice what he says. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Now, what do you expect? What are you expecting to see at God's right hand? Let your mind go. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And the privilege to be able to come there and enjoy, because of Jesus, because of the blood of Christ, because of the right hand of God in delivering us, because of the right hand of God in upholding us, because of the right hand of God in being able to give us the eternal victory. Behold, the pleasures forevermore at the right hand of God. I'm looking forward to that. I have anticipation for being there. And I want to leave that picture in your minds today of a God who is... Our rock is not like their rock. It's not worth turning to that rock. Our God is this kind of rock, and his hands can deliver and keeps all his promises. Let's kneel in prayer.